Let's get started with some praise this morning. I'm going to share my screen and Daniel, if you could spotlight me if you want, and then that can help. Sometimes when Frank's teaching, I like to see his face, and so I have to move back and forth between his face and the thing. So if you can just spotlight me, that'd be helpful. Oh Lord, this morning I want to praise you. I praise you, Lord, this morning because for me, Lord, I praise you this morning because you are good. You are so good. Always good. Anyone else? Let's praise the Lord.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you are our source of joy, strength, and courage.
Amen. Yep, take yourself off mute and let's shout out some praise to the Lord.
Praise the Lord for a peaceful and beautiful Sunday morning that we can worship and study your words together.
Amen.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you are our refuge and strength.
Praise you, Lord, for you give us a new day every day, and we are new in you.
Amen. A few more.
Oh Lord, I praise you this morning because you have provided the little things in our lives, the ordinary things, even that you are involved.
That's good. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. And oh Lord, I praise you this morning. Because you are so good. And even when we see the lack of good in this world, we see darkness in the world, we know who you are. And Lord, even when things don't even go our way, we can trust, Lord, that you are good and that you never change, which means that you are always good in every circumstance, in every situation. When we feel up or we feel down, Lord, when we are close to you, when we are sometimes drifting from you, Lord, you are still good. And we want to thank you for that. I thank you that this week I've just been meditating on you, Jesus, because throughout the scriptures, Lord, you tell us that Jesus, you are the light that shines in the darkness. You are the life. And Lord, we thank you that you do shine in the darkness, and you are the one who was there in creation, bringing life, your life, speaking your life into all of this universe as we know it. And even as a result of the fall and sin and all of its effects in the world, in all of the spiritual darkness, Lord, you bring life and you bring light. And so, Lord, I want to praise you this morning because everywhere you are, Jesus, you bring life and you bring light. And that should bring so much of an encouragement to our soul, as we know that many of us, or most of us, are people of the light. We have been given life, as one sister said. We have new life because of you. And we are not in the darkness. We are in the light because of you. And the light, Lord, is so warm. It is so good. It is so comforting. It is the light, Lord, where we find refuge. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, would you be our teacher and our guide? Would you speak to us through your word? Would your spirit reveal truth to us that we need to know this morning? And we worship you, O Lord. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so here we are. I love being able to teach this class with my brother. Excuse me. And we have a good time doing that together. Sometimes we don't even know where we're going to go next. And we always trust the Spirit to move and to lead us. We are in this section. I'd like to ask a volunteer to read just once again, the Beatitudes section. We are in the Sermon on the Mount series. This here, verses 1 through 11, is what we call the Beatitudes. There are eight of them, the Blesseds. And I just want to, we're in the last segment, one of the last stretch here. We might end today, right, Frank? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. We'll see where our brother Frank wants to go next week. But I believe we are going to continue on in the Sermon on the Mount. But yes, can I have a volunteer read for us?
Well, they shall be called.
Yes, someone just read for us verses 1 through 11. And, you know, as the Spirit prompts you, read that for us this morning. And also, if you want to open up your annotation tool, please. And I'm going to ask you to highlight some things. Go ahead. Anybody who has a burden to read.
I'll read.
Thank you.
Matthew 5. Mm-hmm. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain. Then he sat down. His disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who are here before you."
Thank you, Janet. Yes, thank you for reading that. I bracketed this last section together in the pink brackets. And if you want to annotate, you can join me just as we kind of take one last look at this beatitude and find linkages. That's what I'm asking you this morning. See if, as we're looking at the verses 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, find some links as we look at the Beatitudes as a whole, but we focus on verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. Make any observations here that you see. There's no wrong markings, by the way. Just a little exercise for us this morning as we just engage God's word. Okay.
To mark connections?
Yeah, mark yeah, mark connections or just observations. Yeah, someone just highlighted rejoice and be glad. Yeah, that's neat. Why rejoice and be glad? Yeah. Or just anything that speaks out to you, that's fine. Right. Okay, we're finding persecuted. Right, there's... Yeah, some of you are highlighting peacemakers. Mm-hmm. Peacemakers and persecuted specifically for righteousness' sake. Good. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, good, good, good. I like that. Someone is noticing the linkage there. Great. Right, okay, now we're seeing some rewards. Yeah. Okay, wonderful. Yeah, feel free to keep highlighting. I'm gonna grab my pen. I don't have a Apple Pencil or anything, but I'm just gonna do a yes. Someone caught this, right? What we see here is we see the kingdom of heaven language right here. This is the eighth beatitude and the kingdom of heaven here in the very first beatitude. So right here, we should see a linkage between these two here, right? So this is what we call in fancy words like inclusio or bracketing. You could think of it like two bookends on a bookshelf, keeping everything together. Or if you're like me and you like hamburgers, sandwiches, I love a good sandwich with pastrami or salami, some turkey in there. But you got to have good bread, right? The bread keeps everything inside. And so writers do that. When Jesus is speaking, he's very intentional. This is kingdom language. Okay. So I want us to catch everything that we're talking about here. Jesus' first sermon is very kingdom geared, right? He's introducing to them the framework of his kingdom. Okay. And then within that, you see all the blesseds, right? You see, blessed are the poor in spirit. And Janet, thank you for reading all of these. These are, we've said, it seems like they're very negative traits in the world, being poor in the spirit, those who mourn or meek, who hunger and thirst, merciful. Right? These type of things are not the framework of the worldly kingdom. In fact, these might be things in the world's kingdom that is frowned on, looks down. Nobody teaches their children to necessarily pursue these things. And it all leads up as these build up. Some of you were highlighting that this last section here has the word persecuted. Those who are persecuted, those who are reviled, persecuted. This whole last section has to do with being persecution. And our brother Frank was talking about that this last week. And it's interesting. These are all adjectives. Okay, so these are descriptive. Poor in spirit, that's a descriptor. Those who mourn, that's a description. The ones who are meek, the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness, these are all adjectival. These are all descriptions of those who are blessed, happy, fulfilled, satisfied in the kingdom, right? So as we wrap up today, I just want us to remember that these are not ethics or rules or laws that we are to try to earn our way into the kingdom. These are the descriptors of those in the kingdom. These are the qualities, if you will, of those who are blessed because they are part of the kingdom, right? We cannot begin to say we have to strive for these to earn our way into the kingdom. Otherwise, if we get down to the blessed are those who are persecuted, those who are martyred, those who are killed for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. Do we have to earn our way by being persecuted to get into the kingdom? That, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. In fact, what we see in verse 10 in the eighth beatitude here is that this last one here, I'm going to change the color. I'm going to change to, let's say, pink. I like pink. This is actually the result, right? All of these here are descriptors. And now you finally have a phrase where it's, you know, it's as if because you are these things, it's as a result of being people of this, you now have this result of being persecuted for righteousness' sake, right? So this is now a result of being a kingdom person, having these attributes. I thought it was interesting that as we're studying peacemakers, the persecuted falls right after people who make peace. Because when we talked about a peacemaker, we specifically talked about the peace with God is the peace that comes before experiencing the peace of God, right? So the peace with God, it's kind of hard for me to write here with this mouse touchpad. The peace with God is first and foremost the peace with God. So those who are trying to make peace are those who experience peace with God because of Christ. And we want other people to have the peace of God. So we're trying to help them to introduce them to the gospel so that they may have peace with God. And as we're trying to introduce peace, I love when a sister said a few weeks ago, but Jesus flipped tables, right? You know, being a peacemaker does not mean that you're this passive, kind of like lacking a backbone type person, a person without confidence and just always kind of curled up and not confronting anything. But a peacemaker actually has to confront something to actually help people bring in that tension to help them have peace with God. But see, when you're trying to make peace in the world, you get persecuted, right? So anyways, I thought we'd just go through that little exercise. And then I love how somebody highlighted right here, rejoice and be glad. We're going to go through that at the very end, hopefully today, because if you would believe it or not, there's a type of, you know, and I just discovered this morning, by the way, that all of these I mentioned are adjectival. These are all adjectives. Poor in spirit is a description. Those who mourn, meek, who hunger, these are all adjectives. They're not commands. God is not commanding us to do these. But there is only two command words in all of this, in all of this text, and someone circled it right here or highlighted first. I think it might have been Elise. It's rejoice and to be glad. And this word be glad is very exceedingly full of gladness. These are the only two commands in all of the Beatitudes. And it as a result of being persecuted. It's kind of interesting, right? All right. Moving on. Here we go. Let me get out of my annotation and let's check this out here. All right. Well, as we talked about being persecuted for righteousness' sake last week, I really liked that Peter gave me this image, right? Peter said last week, actually, I wasn't in the class at that time, so I had to go back and listen to the recording the last few minutes. And Peter said, I think I might have been there, but he said this picture came to his mind. I don't know if Peter's here today, but he was thinking about a commercial, he said, of some sort where where you had a person who was walking against a crowd of people. I was trying to find a commercial like that, couldn't find it, but I found this image, and it probably depicts what he has in mind. I think there's so much truth to it. These Beatitudes are we've been talking about the upside down kingdom of God, and it's like people of the kingdom are walking against the flow of the world. And so Peter said he saw this picture of everyone walking in this direction, and it's against the flow of where everyone else is walking. And so I found this picture. It's cool. This guy has a funky green suit. He even has green shoes. It's just so obvious he's walking in the other direction. But as we're studying persecution last week, and suffering and being treated differently because you are different, I wanted to show you that this kind of picture, I didn't find this picture because it was a Christian depiction. It was just a common image. And I assume that when Peter talked about this commercial, it wasn't a Christian commercial. It was probably some other, Sprite commercial or something. Go against the flow or whatever, right? The world promotes us to be different today even, right? So I'm going to borrow Peter's picture. There is a lot of truth in the Beatitudes that this depicts. But what I wanted to do first was show you that there are some incorrect ways of viewing persecuted and trying to be different and walk the other way, okay? Because there are some masochistic people, or just people who don't mind walking against the grain of the world, and it does, and it's not necessarily what Jesus is talking about here. Okay. Jesus did not say, I'm going to go through a few of these. Jesus did not say, blessed are those who are persecuted for being a nonconformist. Okay. What does that mean? It means some people are just kind of in their personality, they don't like to conform. They don't like to do what other people do. They don't like to just do what everyone else does. It's almost a preference to just be different. I like to dress different. I like to, when other people dress this way, I don't want to dress that way. I want to dress differently. I want to be different. When the world moves in these type of things, I don't want to move in that. I don't want to do that. When other people are all doing this, I just don't want to be that. I'm a nonconformist. This is not what Jesus is talking about. You don't receive the blessing of being kingdom for just being a nonconformist. Sometimes those people find their way in the church too, okay? Because the church is different from the world, and they kind of like that. And it's just kind of like, good, I like a place where everyone's different from the world. And so I'm a nonconformist. I kind of dig this way of life. This is not what Jesus is talking about for being blessed. Okay. Just because you're a nonconformist, that's not what this is talking about. I've even heard someone say to me, it's funny to think back, but someone even said before, hey, the world is moving so fast forward in technology, the church shouldn't. Okay. I think we were a very blessed church then, because when everyone was moving forward in technology, we were still using overhead projectors, right? We were using these yellow fuzzy, you had a printout, children worship was still printing out, writing things on a trans. Some of you don't even know what a transparency is today. Thank God. It's almost as if holiness is not moving forward in technology as a church, right? That's kind of funny. But no, this is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus also did not say, blessed are those who are persecuted for being foolish or lazy or stubborn. Okay. Some of us are just stubborn in our own ways. And we might attach Jesus's name or the name of being a person of faith because you just want to do things your way. This is something that's very deceitful. Our heart can be very deceiving at times, and we think that we're people of faith and we're behaving as people of faith, but actually we're unwise, and you're suffering because you're not wise, right? You're not a wise believer. You're at times foolish, and you're suffering because you're foolish and unwise, and you're claiming that you're suffering in Jesus's name, but you're not. This is not what this is talking about, okay? You're foolish in your own ways. You're stubborn in having your way, and you think that it's you're holding on to a way of faith, but it's not. You're just suffering because you're not following the ways of wisdom, and Jesus is not saying you're going to get blessed because of that. And then I think of a category of people who almost pursue suffering, right? Sometimes there are people who are like that, who think that hard equals holy, right? I'm just going to choose the way of suffering because isn't there a scripture that says the holy way is the way of suffering? No, there's not, right? Jesus, the New Testament has a lot of words to say about suffering that produces a fruit. We do see that suffering does produce things in a believer's life, but nowhere in scripture does it say pursue suffering. Go and just chase after making your life hard, right? You know, and I'm going to find ways to make my life harder, because you know that is the way of holiness. It is true that Christians will encounter suffering, and it will produce a growth in a believer's life and character and maturity. But you don't need to go look for suffering, okay? And then last, Jesus did not say, blessed are those who are persecuted, who suffer for just being good or noble or sacrificing. I think we touched on this last week, that sometimes we really get behind good causes. There are a lot of good causes out there in the world today. And I think Frank was teasing us through this last week. I mean, teasing as in like trying to lead us through the tall grass of this concept. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of non-believers who are martyred or suffered for good causes in the world. You know, Nelson Mandela, who fought against segregation in South Africa, he suffered greatly, but not because of what Jesus was talking about here. Gandhi, you know, was not a believer, and he fought for the rights of Indians. And I think Gandhi was assassinated, right? You know, Gandhi was martyred and killed. Someone can Google that and check me. I think he did. Even non-believers fight for good causes. Okay, so this is not what Frank was introducing us into last week. So it's something different. And I know that last week there's a reason why Frank highlighted for us those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, who are when others revile you and persecute you and utter all types of evil against you falsely, Jesus says, on my account. So I do think that we will suffer being righteous or practicing, I don't know if I spelled that right, practicing righteousness, which really means something about being Jesus-like, right? Being Jesus-y. Blessed are those, so we might be able to translate this in a simple way, blessed are those who are persecuted, or Frank used the word harassed, for being like Jesus. You're blessed when you suffer for being like Jesus, right? The verse that I thought about last week was this one. And I said it was in, I don't know, John somewhere. It's John chapter 15. And can someone read that for me?
If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Mm-hmm. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
Right.
Verse 20, remember the word that I have said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. Mm-hmm. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours.
Right, right. So this is, yeah, feel free to annotate here if you like. You know, I know you enjoyed doing that, but this is a picture of the type of persecution that Jesus is talking about. The world is going to hate you, but don't be surprised because it hated me first. Because you're going to be more and more like me and you resemble me, the world's going to hate you. Don't be surprised at this, right? This is in chapter 15, and what I wanted to show you is some concepts that go above this. I love John 15. Oh, man, I love John 15. So if you ever get a chance, just bookmark your John 15 and just meditate on John 15. It's great. But John 15 starts with this whole imagery of Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. And over he says, if you are in me, if you remain in me, if you abide in me and I abide in you and you let me remain in you, you're going to bear so much fruit. You're going to bear this fruit. You're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to bear this fruit that only comes from you staying in me. That's how John 15 starts, right? You love my commands, but you're only able to bear the fruit of the commands because you're in me and I'm in you. You're connected, right? I love the word connection because we're connected. If you're connected with me, you're going to just naturally, it's going to come out. You're going to bear this fruit of following me and you're going to look more and more like me. And so he says, you're going to look like me and the world's going to hate you because you're bearing the fruit of being in me. And the latter part after the persecuted passage that Jesus talks about right there in 18 through 20, after that, he says, when I leave, the helper is going to come. And I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and he's going to bear witness about me. And as he bears witness about me, because you have him, now you're going to bear witness about me because you now have been with me. From the beginning, you're going to bear this witness because of this Holy Spirit that's in you. So this whole thing of John 15 is about being in the image, bearing the fruit of being like Christ. And when the world sees that, when you represent Jesus to the world and you're now bearing the fruit to be like Jesus. You know, I love that song, Make Me More Like Jesus. It's great, but the negative side to that is the world's going to hate you because it hated Jesus first, right? Oof, that's hard. The world's going to hate you because you were like Jesus, because you're like Jesus, and the world hated Jesus first, right? So Frank was talking about this last week, and I just really wanted to take this and keep going with it. In fact, I told Frank that I listened to one of I clicked on the most recent lesson for some reason online, and it brought me, I thought it was, and I went to the last 15, 20 minutes because I missed that last week, and I thought it was a lesson, but Frank was saying, but it actually wasn't last week, but he was saying the same thing he said last week, which is, it's not about, like, we got to be careful of leading our youth and leading the church to be a people who just obey commands, who just do things. It becomes very religious. It becomes very churchy, but you just do things. And we can even make the false assumption that as we've studied through all these Beatitudes, that we're just supposed to do things. We're supposed to try to be poor in spirit and be mourning and be meek. We talked one week when Linda said China teaches people to be meek. Well, we're not teaching people to just be meek, because there's got to be something different when we have the Holy Spirit in us. And when Jesus says this phrase, you get connected with me, you remain in me, I'm in you, you have my Holy Spirit, and now you bear this fruit. Now you're producing fruit, but not because you're trying so hard to be like Jesus. It's because of your connection with Jesus, your love for Jesus, that you become more and more like Jesus. It's from the inside out, as if, right? That's what I get when I'm hearing Frank talk. And it's something from the inside that produces its way outward. And therefore, we see people in the church always transforming, bearing fruit to be like Jesus. But it's not like we have these moral rules that we all have to follow, right? That's what I heard from Frank. So even as we think about all these things, the more you naturally pursue Jesus and you love Jesus and you stay connected with Jesus, you change, you transform the way you are, grows and matures. You do suffer and you produce this fruit, but you suffer because Jesus said you are persecuted for being like me, for righteousness' sake, not just for a good cause, not just because you're for BLM or you're for social justice or you're for the you're fighting for the cause against sex trafficking of children and stuff like that, because you're fighting for human rights. I believe that the believer, because they have Christ, is going to want to, you know, believe in good causes, but it's not just because of the good cause that you suffer, right? You believe in praying against injustice because you know that Jesus was for justice. You want to serve the homeless and the poor and the needy, and your heart breaks for them because Jesus reaches for them. And that all comes because you're connected with Jesus, not because you're fighting the causes that Jesus would fight, right? It's very inside, fruit bearing out. And when you become more like Jesus, the world will begin to hate you. People around will hate you, right? This is crazy. Why does Jesus say you're going to expect this? Others are going to revile you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. They're going to say false things about you on my account because you're like me. So I want us to discuss this for a second, right? If we are like Jesus, if we bear the fruit of the Spirit, and if we bear the witness of Jesus, why do people hate us? Why are people going to hate us if we're like Jesus? Why would we be persecuted? So go ahead, Frank or Daniel, can you split people into groups of, I don't know, three or four, your choice today? And let's spend about five. Let's give people like 7 minutes, five, six, 7 minutes. And let's ask ourselves that question. Yeah. Like, do you get that? Why does Jesus say, the more you're like me, you're going to get persecuted? Why? And we're not talking about just fighting for a good cause. We're talking about being like Jesus. Okay, great. Thank you, Sophia. That sounded like Sophia. So Sophia, can you share like one thing? Sorry to put you on the spot. Actually, I'm not going to put Sophia on the spot for saying yes. But anyone share, if we are like Jesus, if we bear fruit of the Spirit, if we bear witness, why would we be persecuted?
Just a random thought.
Yeah, please. Random is good.
Because what Jesus teaches is to, my takeaway is to ultimately submit to God the Father.
Uh-huh.
And why the world, you know, persecutes us is because the world does not want to submit.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Not yeah. Yeah. I get that, Bobby. That's good.
Not necessarily submitting to God, but submitting to an authority.
Okay. Like a boss, okay. Or okay. Okay. Good.
You know, right. Something like that.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't want to yield to God. Right. I don't even believe in God. I hate the idea of God. Right. Believe it or not, actually, like, you know, I think there's a bunch of research that says like the majority of the population in America believe that there is a God. But what Bobby's saying is people don't want to come under God. Okay, good. What other things?
Well, not necessarily under God, but just any type of authority figure.
Oh, sure. I mean. Sure, yeah. Sure, sure, sure. But, I'm with you. Okay. Okay. Very cool. What else did you guys talk about in your groups? Anyone else want to offer a comment, please?
I can offer a comment. Yes. Sort of similar to Bob, but like just the idea that, you know, that as a Christian, we're like the main kind of core thing is that we have sin and that, you know, we have to be dependent on someone, and dependent on God, in order to, you know, to find salvation in some type of way.
Okay.
And that's like pretty much no other religion has that. And there's
right,
some,
right,
and
right. Sure.
We're always, you know, taught to be independent. Yeah. We're always taught to like go our own way and work our way up. And to have the idea that that there's only one God and everything else is wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of like, it seems a little bit kind of like inclusive, but I think I also,
I
think it's a, like, you know, our religion, maybe some others as well, but I think ours specifically is kind of, is a very jealous religion, in terms of like,
that, because our God is a jealous God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our God's a jealous God. So,
okay.
That's Milton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Milton, I think you just helped me clear up some stuff. We're being persecuted mainly not for doing good works, because we were in our group, we're talking about that, and we're a little bit, we didn't really get an answer, but we're mainly persecuted. And when I think about when I get harassed, is really not when I'm doing that. Most people actually like me when I do that.
Yeah, right.
But it's when I say Jesus is the only way. Yeah, I know we're trying to find persecution. I said, I don't really have been hated. I'm only really harassed when I say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, when I say that, I get harassment. And the text says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Jesus was right with God. And he was the one that was telling him, I am the only one who is right with God. Only through me are you going to be right with God.
Right.
And when you preach that, you get harassed.
Preach
not
it,
for
brother.
Good works, because
preach that.
Good works come through. No, I'm just going through it because I'm like, oh, yeah, Milton, thank you. That is really the basis of the persecution.
Right.
Yeah. Right? It's not even doing good works, because I know plenty of people who do better works than all of y'all.
Right.
And all of me. Right. They're out in the, you know, Peace Corps doing good work.
And by the way,
we're not, we're sitting in the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, when churches do good works, nobody complains.
That's good.
I mean, we
no complains. They love you.
we helped the school next door to provide food baskets for Thanksgiving, and we gave them as a church above and beyond what they had expected. They're not persecuting us for that. They love that. They love that the church is doing these good things and helping those who are less fortunate and serving the community. They love that, right? The issue is, you know, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When something about Jesus, when we are Jesus-y, when we are Jesus-like, when we bear the fruit of the Spirit, we're bearing witness of Jesus, they hate us. Why? And so the question is, why did and why does the world hate Jesus? Right? And good. Yes, the dialogue that Milton and Bob and Frank, you guys just shared, is great. Why does the world hate Jesus? And why is this so linked with verse 9, which says, blessed are the peacemakers? I believe they hated Jesus because he was a peacemaker.
Yes.
But making peace meant that he had to bring the tension, the problem between man and God out. Before you get peace, you have to know that there's something blocking you from having peace with God. He had to bring the fight against sin. Milton mentioned sin to bring peace between man and God. Jesus brings that. Jesus was flipping tables because he's tired of the behavior of those who are bearing the name of God, because it was bearing the false religion of we are good, we can be good. He was saying, stop this nonsense. You're not good. You have desecrated the house of my Father. All of this that you do, this works of goodness, you think you're good, you're not good. Frank said, you're not right with God. I'm the only one who can make you right with God, because I'm going to die for you the death that you cannot die. And I will give you the rightness with God that you cannot earn. And the people were so mad at him. They hated him. As Milton said and Frank said, because Jesus says, I'm the only way. I'm the only way. You are not good. You think you're so good because you fight for all these good causes. And I will come alongside you because I want to feed the homeless. I want to do the good things. See, there's something inside people that know, you know, man, the world needs light. The world needs some goodness. But Jesus says, you have no goodness to give until you have the goodness that comes from me. That's why the world hated Jesus, right? Jesus says this. Look at this. I mean, this is crazy. This is right after John 3:16, right? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his own, you know, he says all that. And then a few verses later, he says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light because his works his wickedness will be exposed. You know why people hate Jesus? Because he's the light. That's what we prayed in the beginning, right? Jesus hates the light. And so people don't want to come to the light. They don't want to see how bad they are. As Milton says, to be able to confess before God, or like Bob says, to be able to bow before God and said, God, I'm so not worthy. I'm so corrupt. I'm so condemned. If I had to stand before a holy God, I'm so unable to. I'm so wicked inside. And I don't want to see how bad I am. I want to keep doing good things to make myself sleep well at night. Right? The world hates me because I testify, Jesus says, about it, that its works are evil. The world is going to hate me because I tell them that there is sin that is devastating their life and their sin is hurting everyone around them, right? That's why the world hates Jesus, right? That's why the world hates Jesus. The ultimate reason for the world hating Jesus is that he reveals evil. And no one in darkness wants to see the wickedness they live in. Right? I shared this to the youth last night. No one who's sitting in a dark prison cell, who's in isolation, wants to really know how dirty they are, that they are there, how filthy they are. Right? And like our King, the people of the King are called to be light. I think that's powerful. I think we're going to get into that as we continue on in Jesus's sermon, that Jesus didn't say, be like the light, be similar to light. He says, be light, because I am the light. Peacemakers bring peace with God by exposing sin, right? Ooh, this is hard stuff though. Ooh, because Milton said every other religion is a religion of just doing good. Like, let's all do good. Let's show the world Buddhists do good. They probably, Frank said, Buddhists probably do better good than we do. They do better good. They're more gooder. They're gooder. I'm not even speaking English right. Right? They're gooder. They do good things and everyone sees it. Well, what makes us different? We want to bring peace, true peace. Because it begins by saying, you can't be so good to work your way up to God. You're so bad that God had to come down and send Jesus down. That's what Milton said makes us different, right? Our faith different. And so when you're trying to bring peace in the world because you're trying to bring peace with God to people, oh man, like life's going to get hard. This week, I was praying with someone and someone said that in their workplace, their new boss is trying to give them a purpose, right? The purpose of working here, right? Someone said that. And this sister said, no, that's, you know, in her mind, I don't know if she said it out loud, but she shared it with me and she said, like, no, that's not my purpose. My purpose is to love and to live for the King, my King. Right? When you are loving and living for your King, the one you bow your knee to, at some point in time, when you live under the kingdom of your King, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Things are going to feel a little bit out of balance sometimes. Isn't that interesting? And you're going to long for them to have this peace with God, and life's going to feel a little bit hard, right? But I wanted to end with this. I mean, that's kind of a sad note, right? Look what I talked about. Okay, if I use my annotation tool, right? Am I drawing here? Okay. I think Elise highlighted earlier, rejoice and be glad. Okay. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. As you're being persecuted, rejoice and be glad. Wow. That's kind of crazy talk right there. right? Who can rejoice when things are like that, right? This guy, I found it in a commentary that I have on my Bible software, says this. He says, rejoice and be glad, paraphrase, is blessed, right? So after all the blessings that we've seen, now in verse 12, it paraphrases it and it turns it into a virtual act of worship. So as we're living out all these things, as we're living under this upside down kingdom, and we're poor in spirit, and we're mourning, and we're meek, and the Holy Spirit is allowing us to bear fruit, to be like Jesus. And as the world around us sometimes hates us, we are able to worship and have joy, right? Believers should experience an ongoing exultant joy when privileged to suffer for the Lord. Look at these two little verses down at the bottom that this commentator put, and I was able to find them. They, the Christians, left the presence of the council rejoicing. Look at down here. Rejoicing. Rejoice that you're counted worthy to suffer dishonor for what? The name of Jesus. When you suffer for the righteousness sake, for the name of Jesus, they counted it worthy. They rejoiced. I'm so full of worship that I'm being dishonored because of the name of Jesus. How many of you in front of family members get mocked because of your faith in Jesus, your love for Jesus, your almost crazy love for Jesus, and people mock you? Do you count yourself worthy to suffer dishonor for the name, right? And these two words right here, right, are the only commands in all of the Beatitudes. Rejoice and be glad. That's the only thing that Jesus commands. And all the Beatitudes, everything else is a description of a believer. Right here, he says, but you, if the world's going to hate you because of me, you can rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven. And this word, rejoice and be glad, I just looked it up this morning, okay? This word, be glad, means to celebrate. It means to be so full of joy, it's exceedingly glad. So be glad is not even enough in the English for it. It's when you are so blessed as you're living life for God, and it will be hard, Jesus says. It will be hard because you're living against the flow of the world. You're going against the pattern of the world and all other religions. But you are experiencing this life. You're bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you're becoming more like Jesus, and the world is starting to treat you differently. You should worship. You should worship. You should be so full of joy and celebrate. You should jump for joy. You see how these words express physical action? How many of you have ever jumped for joy in your worship to God? Do you jump for joy? Do you see your worship to God as celebration? This is the picture of believers who are being persecuted. And Jesus says, you're going to experience this because of me, but I want you to worship. I want you to have so much joy. I want you to have so much joy. And joy is also the fruit of the Holy Spirit, by the way. Right? You're going to have a new level of fellowship with Christ. You're going to have a special fellowship with Christ and a new level of union with him because you get to suffer for him. Wow. This is a cool little commentary piece, right? So,
good
stuff. All right. Hey, let me pray for us. We went over, Frank and I have to be challenged and reminded that we need to end on time. and then let people fellowship afterwards. But you guys have ministries to do. So let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much this morning for sitting with your word. And as we prayed in the beginning, Lord, that we just wanted to be changed and let your Holy Spirit reveal truth to us. And there's so much in your word that when your Holy Spirit reveals its truth to us, it is so good. And we worship you this morning, Lord. We love you so much. We know that when we do good things as a believer in the world and we fight for good causes, the world stands by us. But when we mention the name of Jesus and we live and bear witness to Jesus, we're going to face some hardships. Help us to expect that. And to know that when we suffer for the name of Jesus and people mock us, that we can consider ourselves worthy of dishonor because we suffer for your name's sake. And so, Lord, help us to rejoice and to celebrate and to have this fullness of joy, that we would be willing to be jumping up and down because we know that we have you and we live for your name, Jesus. It is in your name that we pray. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.